Good afternoon. Today I'm going to present my ongoing project as modeling of prismatic film glazing with climate-based wet data and film measurements. So the research is a combination with me and one researcher in the Suzhou Institute of Building Science Group and Jacob Johnson from Mount Berkeley National Lab. So even the 3M was not penetrated this lot, the market a lot for the using the prismatic films, and there is one Chinese producer to use manufacture these products and use this in many projects, like in the manufacturing spaces for the side of the windows, on the atrium of the sides, and the combination of prismatic films and the commercial glazing in office buildings. And all the settings with prismatic films on the top part of the blinds and the lower part with commercial glazing. So those are the four major applications of using these prismatic films. Here is one of the scale model for using the prismatic films on the skylights. It was interesting thing is on the skylights, the most of the time is early morning and late afternoon, it includes the inside space for using prismatic film because the direction-directed scattering features. But when it applies for the skylights, it gets more complex and more difficult to predict what the performance will be like. Here we have two combinations. First one is the prismatic films with a clear glazing, and so we can see the lines here and the shining points very strong. So this using and the light source is high Adams angles. Second one is prismatic films with a false glazing on the second surface too. So we see all the high pixel, high flux points on the second high flux point on the on top levels. On the when the Adams level is less than 25 degrees, then we see this happens for this type of prismatic films. So different manufacturers may produce different specific shape, size, and configuration of prismatic film products. The light scattering property of different prismatic film products need to be analyzed. So we did a research for the film we used. And we found that usually the shape of this building of this present film should be like the prisms. Actually, maybe due to manufacturing deficiency, we didn't get very exactly the prisms. So there's a chamber here, and here the position is not that perfect. And so the size of this one is about 45 on the length. On the heights of the prisms and about 35 on the width of the prism lens. So this is the prism film about micrometers. The unit is micrometers. So Johnson helped us. Johnson helped us on measuring the prismatic film light coming out properties. So these are the lens properties. We can saw that when you have 0 degree, you have a very strong pixel flux downwards and a second strong pixel flux upward. And then when you go to the high azimuth angles, you got most no strong flux downwards, it's all upwards. So that's how the plans distribution data, and then we use this more accurate than the tensor tree data, so we get both. And we use this for a case study building. The building is about 45 or 40 meters wide on the east-west side, and 55 meters on the north-south side. It's a manufactured building, and with like 9 meters high. We have prismatic films on the south, east, and west side. So we do the illuminance and the luminance measurement for this space for about several years, continuous monitoring, and we measure the illuminance on this kind of grid, majorly on the west-east side, it's the west-east side. And to avoid the disturbance with regular activity, manufacturing activity in the space, we're using these two axes. One is along the wall, the E axis is along the wall, and the X axis is around in the middle of the glazings. So that's the two axes we majorly explore. And one of my previous graduate students did a simulation, a study, and measurement for using Ecotec and Radiance desktop Radiance. So does not have these functions to model the prismatic fields. So she decided using the blinds and adding the two reflecting faces. And actually, using this method, she got pretty good results on the first 10 meters on each side, west and east side. But after 10 meters, you go to the next 10 meters, the result doesn't match at all. So that's why we changed our method. We, after, thanks to Mustafa's release of this honeybee, we're going to be able to use this one and create a more physical, accurate physical model. So we're using the XML file from North Berkeley Library and using the climate data, weather data from the National Weather Station. So we'll be able to do the simulations. And before we are really simulations, we did a simulation with how the difference between the tensor tree and the plans data. We found that in some points, the difference could be over 30%, like this one, 437 and 680. This is about huge difference, and relatively the difference. So we found that we still need to use tensor tree data to pick up the to minimize the difference. So that's why we choose the tensor tree data. We did simulations for both the cloudy days and the sunny days, and using the compared the measured data with the simulated data. So using two axes. So because these two points have columns, so we just zero illuminance. So except the feet points, especially on the edge points, we get the results, reasonable results before the measured data and the simulated data. So it's 9, 12, I didn't put it 15 hours. So the major difference happens on this, the close to the wall area, the points. This is cloud based. For this 12 o'clock in the cloud days, we expect more differences because mostly illuminance levels were generally very low, and maybe other reasons. We found that for these measurements, we didn't get it accurate as expected. So. How does this prismatic films perform during the real situations? To compare to evaluate the performance regarding the illuminance levels, we compare this illuminance level simulation results with a commercial plate gradients with the visible transmittance of 0.465. That's the record to a double unit low E glazing. And we found that during a sunny day, like the sometimes the, along the glazing, middle glazing, the illuminance for a commercial glazing is about 9,000, but during when you're using Christian magic films, it's about 2,000. So it's huge difference for close to the wall area. And the text showing red means it performed higher illuminance levels during the for the prismatic films. So as we can see during the sunny clear sky with some suns, the prismatic films performs much better results in the far from window area for both 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 15 o'clock. So it means it has much less the illuminance uniformity was much better, and also they reduced the high illuminance level. Like here, 15,000 lux of illuminance, but here in my situation is about 2,700. So it reduces the high illuminance irradiance score during for the commercial glazing. That's why it provides bright luminance environment for the interior space. So how does it work during the cloudy days? So we do cloudy day simulations. So or even found in the same situations. During is 9, 12, and 15 o'clock, the interior space still performs better. Sometimes it's double or three times of the illuminance with commercial glazings. The same situation happens. For close to the window area, the illuminance level was much less for these spaces. In general, the illuminance prismatic film providing a better illuminance environment for both clear sky and the cloudy skies. But for this illuminance environment, the worst thing is the average illuminance for the whole space was reduced because the prismatic film reflects some of the light out. So the overall general average luminance was not as good as the commercial glazing, but the illuminance uniformity was much improved even for cloudy days. So that's how we compare the illuminance levels for both clear and cloudy skies. To further study how the prismatic films regarding to the luminous environment, we also do the simulations for cloudy days and the, during the different seasons, like summer, winter, and the autumns. So for 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 15 o'clock. The interesting thing is for our simulations with these tracked films with the tensor tree data, we find that the high flux points, the luminance was very, very high. Okay, I can show them the table. But the area of the high luminance area was much smaller. So in this case, you get a very high point, high luminance points, but the area was smaller compared to this size. So it's too small, you can see the labels, but this label is much higher than this, but the area of high the luminance area was much smaller. So summer, and this is autumn. So we have the what's called the actual measure data, and so it's the same situation happens in all three seasons. The only difference is during the winter season is we got a lot of high pixels even in the commercial glazing because high luminance during because the low azimuth angles for the commercial glazings. So we compare the DGP and the DGI as well as the max luminance levels happens. when we're facing the glazings. So interesting thing is, almost all the time, the DGI index is over 26. That means we may experience the glare issues. And the prismatic film also has a lot of hours experience the glare issues, because we're seeing the views directly facing the sun. In general, we got less hours and for the prismatic films than the commercial glazings. But the real situation may be different. That's why we're going to do the field study with questionnaire combined with HDR photos combined together to evaluate in these readings. What we saw in this, is this really happens in the real situations? So what we are going to do is ongoing job is applying physics masks in two classrooms, one is facing the south, another one is facing the north. As we can see, it always improves the luminous environment with the reflecting light going up. So this is facing the west. Second thing we're doing is on-site questionnaires, combining HDR photos and luminous meters. So we're trying to find out that this DDD glare index fits for prismatic film glazings. So we'll get some idea from Yang together when we talk with him, and that's what the main reason I was here, is getting such solutions and suggestions for you guys. So that's my presentation for the day, and thank you for the idea. Any questions?
So what happens to 15 meters from the side? So you have very good match, then just like the value would drop to zero.
Because that's the column. Okay. That's the column for this. If you do the real situation, that's the real what happens. Yeah, that sometimes makes the equation and the graph ready to present if there was zero there.
Alstan, just hop inside. Tell us what it's like. We want to prove this. The column. I thought it sounded out of place myself. Any others?
Yeah, just wondering, because I'm looking at prismatic glazing for the project, where I'm just wondering if, the concern I have is that it's a low angle sunlight. I'm just wondering if you also tested if you could use different angles of prismatic glazing, and
yeah,
whether that would get rid of it there?
Yes, that's the thing we're using here. The last one. This one.
Yeah, but if you, in your simulations, if you replace the prismatic glazing with a certain angle by another angle, does it reduce?
Yeah, that's the last set we're going to test.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, we're still doing the fixed angles, and how to combine the combination and what the ratio will be like to reduce them. But eventually, to fully reduce the part for grading issues, we need to be using this adjustable. Because this one will eventually. Our final goal is combine the daylighting parts with the automatic shading parts, because this one also has the shading issue.
Mm-hmm.
In the this one here, because the point out is that's the shading point features of this prismatic film.
Mm-hmm.
Please combine the shading and the daylighting part. So that's why I asked Andy we need to do is in the energy class to simulate the shading effects.
Mm.
Don't you? I hope I can get it right there.
Maybe more general question. Regarding to the using prismatic layer or macular, we have this refraction, and I wanted to know if radiance can handle total internal refraction, if this is happening in some.
I think I cannot answer these two questions.
Total external reflection.
Yeah, if it is too low, for example, the reflection would be happening all the time and the ray cannot go out.
Oh, that's the interesting question. Actually, when I was living in Hong Kong, they say if it's in Hong Kong, it's low equation, close to equation area, so they have this one. Actually, it's very good results. You see, this is high, very low, high angles. You still get a point there.
So if you model it as geometry, it will, until internal reflection happens, it will happen in the ray tracer. If you don't model it as geometry of BSDF, it's irrelevant. But one thing about the total internal reflection is that if you model a prism, you get the exact geometry of a perfectly sharp corner. Mm-hmm. And so you get total internal reflection that doesn't exist in real life. In real life, you get leakage out of those, you know, what aren't perfect corners. So, in a sense, you're doing too good a job with the physics. Because if you were to model the exact shape of the prism with the little rounding at the edge, then you get the right answer. It's supposed to be right.
Yeah, so like the chamfer here, to have the chamfer.
It's different in every single prism that is measured there.
Yeah.
So it varies across the product.
So I was thinking why we didn't, people ask me why you're doing the gem BSDF, because when you're gem BSDF, it could be different because the chamfer here was not detected. I heard that main factor have the same problems.
So if there are no more questions, let's thank you.